are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, Pastor. So we're talking about the Great Hope, Chapter 2. In the few minutes that we have remaining for this segment, could you just please quickly take us through a summary of the lessons that we can learn from this chapter?
All right. I hope the listeners are doing well. We are going to begin with the summary. Number one, we're going to talk about the bigger story behind the struggle. The bigger story behind the struggle. This chapter talks about the origin of evil, the lie in the cosmic rebellion that was led by Lucifer. This is what the chapter is merely about. It's not a mere chapter that talks about the fall of human beings. It's a chapter that leads us to an understanding of the spiritual backdrop that brings clarity and purpose to why we human beings suffer. It actually reminds us that we are caught in a larger story, a war between good and evil, and our pain is not meaningless. Actually, when you read this chapter in context, it will enlighten us to understand that knowing. It will help us to understand. It helps us to understand that as believers, we must learn to endure the trials with faith, knowing we are not alone no matter what happens. God is actively working to redeem us as human beings. Yes. So the first chapter we're going to talk about, the bigger story, it has to open our minds that this whole war that is ongoing, we have Christ. And Christ is the major thing that we're supposed to have. And because of Christ, we can triumph and we can endure these trials until we receive our reward. Mm. This is what the chapter is about in summary.
Beautiful.
That is number one.
All right.
Number two is God's character on trial. That is the second thing that I would want us to understand. Now, when you understand this chapter very well, you discover that Satan's primary attack was on God's character. If you are to see with microscopic eyes, you understand that painting him, he wanted to paint God as unjust in all the things. In everything that Satan did at that time, he wanted to show that what God was, he was just trying to be a controlling God that cannot take us anywhere, and that God is a liar, and there was something bigger to what God has shown us. And in most cases, we discover that in our Christian life, we just feel as if there is something that is beyond what we know, that probably God is hiding from us. The duty of the devil in this thing is to make sure we understand that our God is not so loving enough to reveal everything for us. Actually, the devil wants us to understand that probably there is some good things that the devil, that God himself hides from us, that we may benefit from sin, which is a lie. And if we are to live this world like Christians, we must understand that that is a lie orchestrated from the pit of hell. And that is an attack that the devil wants to use God's elect. So as Christians, we should look unto God. Even today, these lies persist in society. You hear people say God doesn't care enough, God is unfair, God causes suffering. But however, when we look at the life of Jesus, the perfect reflection of God, we see compassion, justice, and sacrificial love. The perfect reflection of God, we see how God embraces us and how Christ embraces the truth of God and how Christ literally breaks down how deep this love of God is. Mm. So if we focus on the lie that the world offers, if we focus on what the world tells us about everything that God is not doing for us, we might be lost. Our focus should be on what Christ is doing in our life for us to live better each day that comes and goes. So as a result, our duty as a Christian, as Christians in this bigger story, and seeing to it that in all these trials, Christ's character is not lost, we must look unto Jesus, the source of our hope, because it is only in Jesus that we can triumph throughout this battle that is ongoing right now. I think if I was to give a summary, I would summarize it in that way.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. And it's unfortunate that the devil's lies they're so pervasive. He started all the way back in the Garden of Eden and continues to this very day. And somehow we still fall into the same traps that Eve fell into. We still fall into the same deceptions.
Actually, if I was to add, I would say, in other words, every statement that you hear that begins, "Did God really say?" Any question that begins with God, just that is evident enough that there is a force that is trying to fight God. And if Christians don't open their eyes, everything that challenges God's ordinances is not from God. It is a lie from the pit of hell to make sure that Christians lose their track. Actually, this question that the devil asks says, "Did God?" is a question that wants to instill fear in us. It might seem as though it is an eye-opener, but in the actual sense, it is an installation of fear that Christians should stop focusing on the Christ they have to look at, and they should start focusing on what's not there, that must be there, which is a lie from the devil. So we must wake up as Christians and understand that everything that is going on right now and this deception is a test or a trial for God's character.
That is actually
one of the devil's strategy. It is to make us so busy about finding out what God has not done that we should have less time to have a relationship with this God that we are trying to search for what he has not done. So you find people in church are busy trying to find errors, what went wrong, where in the Bible and whatnot. That is the devil trying to make us busy. But in the quest we are busy, we should not focus on Christ. And that is where a lot of us misses it, because the duty of a devil in chapter 2 of that book, the duty of a devil is to bring a misrepresented character of God. That is why Revelation calls him the accuser of the brethren. He wants to paint the brethren black so that he might win, because he knows that his time on earth is what is limited.
And I was saying earlier, I was just saying to the listeners that, you know, this one of the lies that the devil tells is that, he'll use the scriptures, as he has always done, to twist God's word. And so this understanding no one is perfect, we're all sinners. And instead of that moving me to say, all right, Lord, I'm a sinner, please help me, I want to live according to your will, I then just get comfortable. I get comfortable in my sinfulness, and I think to myself, it's fine because we are all sinners. So I don't need to improve. I don't need to change. This is just who I am. God loves me the way that I am. Those are the kind of lies that the devil tells. And I was saying, funny enough, the devil himself knows that there are people who keep the commandments of God. There are people who follow God's law to the T. And that's why we're told that he hates those people. So he knows that they exist.
Wonderful.
Hello, Pastor. All right, we got cut.
I was reading this morning and I came to... Oh, yes, I'm saying I was reading this morning and I came to discover one thing. That the devil, after Jesus went to fast for 40 days, the devil came to tempt him.
Yeah.
Then in my mind, I was like, yo, the devil is not afraid of our fasting and prayer. What?
Oh, man. Pastor, are you there?
Jesus overcome the devil was the word of God.
Pastor, we got cut off there.
Hello?
I really want to hear what you were saying there. The devil is not afraid of our fasting and prayer.
Yes. The devil is not afraid for our fasting and prayer. Why? Because even after Jesus Christ fasted, the devil still came back and tempted him. What made Jesus overcome the devil was through the word of God. It is written, it is written. That is why the devil invests so much in trying by all means to manipulate the word of God. Because Christian was the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is like a double-edged sword. Meaning if If a Christian has the word, he has a tool that he can use to fight him.
Yeah.
So he tries by all means to manipulate the scriptures. That is why several times you find people trying to misinterpret the Bible, because the Bible is a dangerous tool that even the devil himself cannot fight, because that is the written word of God, the testimony of God.
Hey.
So he invests so much in manipulating scripture, because it is scripture that he was defeated when he came to tempt Jesus Christ after his 40 days fasting. So as Christians, we must open our eyes and read the Bible prayerfully and carefully, so that the devil's manipulation, we don't fall in that pit.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love that. I think we can wrap it up right there. If there's any one final point maybe that you'd like to share before we close.
All right. My final point that I would love to share, since the time was limited, I had a lot to share.
Yeah.
My final point I'd love to share with the Christians listening to this and the non-believers listening to this is that always watch out for the devil's strategy in trying to manipulate God's character.
Mm.
Our duty as Christians is we should always pray so hard that God should be able to open our eyes enough that we can see that the devil's efforts are being doubled each and every day.
Right.
And that as the devil's efforts are being doubled each and every day, we must be able to fight and pray so hard that the Lord opens our eyes. And when God opens our eyes, we can be able to fight. And fighting with God is the best fight ever. I think that is my last point for this morning.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Meshack Thomas, for coming through and sharing such a powerful, powerful word. Unfortunately, we're limited on time, but we'll be connecting again on Thursday to continue on with this review of this chapter, and we'll be able to get more of the points that you'd like to share. Thank you so much for coming through.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for hosting me as well.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.